Welcome to the Too Posh Podcast.
I am Gabrielle. I am a former New York Mafia princess, originally from Austria. I am the mother of three and the owner of Too Posh Boutique. And here with my beautiful co-host, Marcella, my daughter.
Hello, I'm Marcella. I'm a dancer, choreographer, model, and designer for Too Posh. And I say whatever the fuck I want, and I cannot wait to talk to Layton.
How you doing? I'm Layton. I'm a musician, singer, songwriter. I'm a model. I'm just out here having a good old time. One of God's boys.
I am Polly. I am a certified sexual health consultant and educator, former professional dominatrix, currently working at the largest adult novelty store in the Texas Panhandle.
What will they say next? Welcome to the Too Posh Podcast.
Welcome, everyone, to our Too Posh Podcast. I am Gabrielle. I'm your host. I'm here with my daughter, Marcella.
Hello.
And our new co-host, Layton.
How y'all doing?
And Spider.
Hello.
And this show is actually to officially welcome Layton as our new co-host.
Very happy to be here.
Now, we have done two former episodes with Layton, mm-hmm. and they were amazing, and he sang for us live, and it was very, very awesome shows, and they're popular on YouTube, actually. One of them gets quite a bit of views, not surprising.
Hey, watch out now.
Thanks. His voice is unbelievable. He's an incredible musician. what we wanted to touch a little bit on how this came about that he's our new co-host. So we did a show not too long ago where we talked about that we were approached by someone to actually do a what is it called? What was that? A channel.
Webcam
channel where we were supposed to do basically what we're doing with our podcast, and people would have their own channels, like a musician, like Layton would have had his own channel, and we would keep up and interview people, how their life was going, how his music career,
interview on webcams.
Right. Yeah. And it was supposed to be a variety of people and a variety of shows. And it sounded great to us because this is what we're doing already. And it was just going to be a little more intense, and we were going to really follow up on people and always know what they were up to. And
presented very, very different.
And it was presented to us in such a way was, I mean, the money was outrageously amazing. And the only thing they said was we needed a male co-host and we should bring male co-hosts for them to interview, and they would interview their own male co-hosts, et cetera, et cetera. Well, we picked three people that we had felt like we had chemistry with, and Layton was one of them, and I invited him to come to this interview. And what I just said was how it was presented to me. We go in there, and the first sentence that was said was basically this was going to be just a porn webcam. And
just Layton, interviewing people on Chatterbait all day. Yeah. It's going to be great.
And Layton, I sat there. I almost fell over. Marcella almost fell over. And then Layton, I mean, I have to say,
you're so such a good sport about that.
Such a good sport, because honestly, thinking back, I think I was in such shock that my reaction, I did ask, I know you all heard me, I did ask, but that's not what you guys had said, but it was immediately shut down with, well, that's what it is, because that's where the money is. And I'm like, well, I didn't even get to warn him. He sings at church. This is not a good idea. I was like, oh my God.
Nope. It got very X-rated very quickly.
I mean, that was very disturbing to me. I was freaking out. At the same time, these dollar signs were hanging over our head. I mean, all that money
not
we
enough.
Were going to make.
Not enough dollar signs.
And I wanted to hear how your experience was.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
What you thought of. Never got your take on that.
Wait, so y'all come at me with this really cool idea. Like you just said, we're going to be interviewing all these people all over the world, doing these different basically live feed mm-hmm. programs. We're going to be interviewing them, giving them a bigger platform, and it would be a full-blown show.
Right.
So I was really excited about that. I love the podcast world, and I love, you know, I don't know if I would say love, but like, you know, everybody's interested in reality TV. It's kind of the biggest TV right now. So it was it was really exciting. Also, money's very exciting. And then, you know, we get over there and I drive out to this big fancy house and they're filming a movie in it and all kinds of stuff. And they take us out here to interview us, and we're sitting on these couches and they're like, cool. So basically what you're going to do is everybody that has these crazy fetishes, you're going to go around and talk to them in detail about their fetishes and ask them detailed questions. And then you're going to follow up with them later. I was like,
And cool. we were supposed what else? To be, you know? And we were supposed to be on billboards. Like, we were yep. supposed to be the face of this so, thing.
I mean, next thing you know, I just immediately in my mind, I'm like, okay.
Oh, I'm well, gonna-
10 years from now, we'll be hosting the AVNs. So.
Right.
So that's basically the direction my life is going. And I was like, okay, I got to call my pastor and my mom.
Right.
Listen, I'm sorry, I can't be Christian anymore. No, I was kind of taken aback, but like you said, it was kind of thrown at us so quickly that I didn't really have time to process like what the repercussions of doing it would be. So walking out of there, I was like, this is going to be different. Like, I'm going to think on it, whatnot, kind of like we all talked about. And then I think I messaged you, excuse me, like the next day or the day after that, and I was like, I don't know if I can do this. And you were like, we're not doing this.
Well, it was like kind of the next day you messaged me, and then I said, well, we're trying to look at all the options. I'm trying to weigh all mm-hmm. these options and figure it out. And I had meetings with my people that like guide me and guide my decision making, and especially the money part of it. And I had sure. a meeting with one of my best friends who had originally sat down and looked at it black and white. There was just money mm-hmm. on the table. And she was like, well, with that amount of money, you're just going to have to do it. And I was like, okay. Went home. She called me the next morning and she goes, I couldn't sleep all night. You cannot do this. So
it just became it took a very hard left yeah. turn.
Or we'd be directly associated with the porn industry.
Exactly. Only. And it was just as
underground
open,
porn industry. Yeah. Which yeah. is the worst.
Yeah, right. And it, as open as we are about that, and it's no judgment if you're right. in it, but it was just something that I was like, even I was like, I can't do it. Mm-hmm. I just can't.
I mean, it, like we say, there's no judgment, but that is not ever what, I mean, we're obviously not doing this with our podcast. We have now 128 shows, I think. And out of those 128, I think 8 or 10 are this kind of subject matter that just because it is a thing, we talk about it sometimes, but it's not what our show
we talk
is
about
all
things,
about.
And right. sometimes those are things.
Right. But it's not what the show is about. The show is about empowering people yeah. and making people stronger and actually helping people that are in that to get out of it. That was always my thing.
Because it is a very, all jokes aside, I think it is a very dark world. Right. And I was even thinking, we talked about it too. I go, I don't want to be in a dark, negative world, actually.
Right. That'll weigh on your spirit. Real
yeah.
heavy.
Yes. And I don't want that. Mm-mm. So
at the same time, we still don't judge. We're still supporting everyone we know that's in it. And some people love it. Like Emily Austin loves it and it has made it her career. And, she just.
I mean, I also go to the AVN Awards. I'd like to go to that one.
I mean, I would like to have a booth there with yeah. all the stuff we sell sometimes. But I mean, I'm
for probably recognize more people than I'd care to admit.
But so then we stole the idea. Kinda.
Basically, we're kind of going, you know, that is a really good idea. Why don't we just do what we're doing and continue this amazing idea and do it with our podcast?
And here's Layton.
And here's Layton.
Hi.
Hi.
And I feel like it's a great, great combination. And the chemistry is great. The shows we've done is fun and really energetic and just what we're looking for. And the one thing I wanted to touch on is that last time you were here, we learned so much about you. Mm. We kind of got to know you better and we love hearing where you came from and how you grew up in this small town. It was just so interesting. The one thing you did leave out was that there was like a part of your life that was very difficult at some point. Mm. And I saw you shared that on social media and I wanted to hear if you wanted to share that.
Just
on
jump
our
right
show.
In that. Huh?
Yeah.
Okay, sure. Okay, yeah, I guess I'll start. Try to give you an abbreviated version of it. Basically, you know, in a small town, you did not a whole lot to do out there. You know, you end up drinking and partying pretty young. And, you know, one thing leads to another. When I moved to Lubbock, Texas when I was 20 years old. And then shortly after that, I had a long-term girlfriend. We broke up. I was living in Lubbock at the time. Very big party city, you know.
That's what I hear.
Big party city. Oh, man. They got their own STDs out there.
That's
I mean,
what I've
wild.
Heard,
yeah.
actually.
Really?
Yeah.
It's like
crazy.
The number one. Well, it had been for
it's
a while.
Number one STDs. City in the nation and the number one Rufalin city in the nation. So that's
Lubbock?
Very fun. And if I'm wrong on those numbers, I don't actually know where I got them from. But so I could be wrong.
I do know that. Texas Tech, anytime my students said they were going, I was like, oh,
Jesus. Yeah. Really?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Well, I went out there and I'd been in like a relationship for almost 5 years. And then we broke up 3 or 4 weeks after moving out there. So was immediately newly single in this brand new city that's a party city. I was turning 21 in like a month. My band at the time had quite a bit of traction and we were playing the festival circuit. And so I was just around booze and whatnot. And sure enough, you know, like drugs were a big part of any music scene. But for sure, the scene that I was in at the time, very, very heavy, like cocaine region, which apparently everybody's doing cocaine now. Turns out I move out here and everybody's doing cocaine.
Dallas was rough.
Yeah. That blew my mind. But anyway, so I just ended up, lo and behold, getting pretty deep into habitual cocaine use. And then, you know, when you're on the road and you got to wake up to do like a radio show at 8 a.m. and, you know, you don't really have time to nap before you drive to the venue and you got to set up, do sound check, and then run home, shower, go out and play your show, and you're there until 2 or 3 in the morning, and you got to be up again the next morning. I mean, sleeping is just like catnaps and cocaine. And, you know, we'd use it. I was working at a music store at the time up there, and me and a couple buddies, we would, you know, tape an 8-ball under the trash can in the bathroom and get us through our day. And then we'd
An 8-ball?
It's an amount of cocaine. Oh, yeah. Okay. So we would, we were friends with our dealer, so we'd front us if we didn't have any money, you know, just typical like hood rat type stuff, I guess. And then we would, you know, usually at my house, we'd have some sort of big party after the show that night. And we'd work from like 8 or 9 a.m. till 5 or 6 p.m. when we were in Lubbock and we weren't on the road. And then we'd, you know, go play our shows from 7 to 10 or whatever it was. And then, well, we've been drinking for free for the last 3 hours. Let's just party.
Keep going. You don't want to go home.
So, you know, keep using cocaine all day long. And there was many, many times when I would do 3 8-balls of cocaine a day, which is $300 or so your homies with the dealer. So, I mean, I probably didn't talk to God for over a year or so.
And I was just going to ask you, how long did you do this?
I did it from probably the beginning of 2012 or probably March of 2012. No, May 19th of 2012 was when I was taken pretty badly advantage of and lost my virginity. And then that same night was when I started doing cocaine. And then woke up, went back to Lubbock, and for the next year and about 6 months, I quit doing cocaine summer of 2013 or fall of 2013 to chase a girl that I was very interested in. But
so you quit drugs to go for a girl?
That's like the super vague agnostic version of why I quit drugs. But basically, you know, I did my strung out thing. I was full-blown alcoholic. Drinking from the time you wake up till sometimes even like just partying until it was time to go to work. And then I remember dropping this band off that was in town touring, buddies of mine. You know, we threw a big after party for them at my buddy's house, and we partied and did blow and everything all night, everything you can think of. We were doing it, painkillers, like just mixing stuff, just really just testing our bodies.
Russian roulette.
I've put my heart and liver to the test. Oh. But we do that, and then about the time they had to be at, you know, bus call at 8 a.m., so I drove them to their bus at about 7:45, and I had to be at work at 8. So just go straight to work, and now I got to do blow all day at work to make it through. So, I mean, you just end up, next thing you know, you look down, you've been doing blow for 6 months, and I've sold every piece of musical equipment that I didn't absolutely have to have to get through a show and make more money. So, I mean, guitars, amplifiers, everything. Like, I had a travel trailer. I sold it. I had, I think I even spent rent on drugs 4 or 5 months until I got kicked out of my house. Just completely strung out. And I just
couldn't stop.
Couldn't get a handle on it. And I didn't have anybody in my life really that was helping me, because no one really knew about it other than the people I was doing it with. I mean, my best friend in the whole world, still my best friend to this day, had no idea how strung out I was until a couple of years ago.
Wow. And,
my brother found out about it later as well. Like, nobody that knew me from the time I was a kid and that grew up with me had any idea. And let's see here. Ended up, I met a girl I'd struggled really bad at the time with spiritual warfare. I don't know how everybody believes on that, but it's been a big deal in my life for a very long time. And but that was really prominent. So, I mean, even going to sleep at all was a nightmare for me.
Tell us a little bit about that. So does one of my friends. It's like a real thing.
It is a thing. Scott has it.
It's real, real terrible. It's the worst thing in the world. Sleep paralysis, I don't understand the science behind it or how anybody tries to explain it, but from my faith-based background, there's a painting I saw years ago that it's this person laying down in bed sleeping and they're like trying to breathe and there's a demon sitting on your chest and just holding your head back. That's pretty much how it looks to me.
Wow.
But it's awful. And it really only ever has happened to me whenever I've been like completely turned around from my faith and living, you know, like a Muppet out there, just doing whatever I want, living my way. And I'm really all over the place with this story right now, but
sleeping
wasn't really an option anyway. So like staying up and partying all night was fine. But yeah, 2013 or so, I was just broken. I mean, a buddy had given me a new place to stay, was letting me stay in his spare room, basically trying to help me out. And I met a girl that I immediately, like, was incredibly drawn to, infatuated with right off the bat. She was about the most beautiful thing I'd ever seen in my life. And I knew she was a Christian woman, and I knew that I would have no chance with her if I, you know, was still living like that. So I just put myself through withdrawals and started praying again. And
you did yourself?
I did.
Oh.
I did. And a couple weeks later, came out about 160 pounds soaking wet. And I was out at a show, and I played this music festival in Midland, Texas called Glitterpalooza. And then got back at like 6 or 7 in the morning to Lubbock. And it was a Sunday morning. I knew that she was going to church, and I just got home, was laying down, still hadn't been to bed all night, but I wasn't doing drugs anymore. I was just, it had been a long night, and we had to drive back. I got home, and I'm laying in bed, and I just texted her, or she had just texted me. She was awake, and she was headed to church. And we were not in a relationship yet at this point at all. I'd just been chasing her for the last, like, 6 months. And she told me she was headed to church. And then she was sitting by like a couple of people she didn't know. Like she'd gone to church by herself. And I knew what church she went to at the time. So I just hopped up really quick and like gave myself a horse bath. Like just put my head in the sink real quick and like
A horse bath?
Yeah. Threw my head in the sink real quick and like put on a nice shirt and just booked it down to the church. And I just texted from the back of the room. There was like not a single seat left, so I'm just like kind of standing in the doorway listening to the sermon. I just got there at the end of the worship set, so the sermon had just started. I had no idea where she was, but I just texted her. I was like, hey, you look really beautiful today. And then she, like, I saw her head kind of like turn around, and from that point on we were doing the thing. But I knew that I wouldn't have a chance with her if I was still strung out. I knew that I wouldn't have a chance if I was still living like an alcoholic. I knew that she absolutely didn't want anybody like that whatsoever. And she knew that I had just quit doing cocaine that way and all that. So she was really supportive of that and helping me through it. And I mean, I haven't touched the cocaine or weed, or I think I may have taken an Adderall pill one time to stay awake on a drive home after a show, maybe a year ago or so, but I haven't touched an illegal substance since 2013.
Good for you.
It's pretty amazing.
That is awesome.
You don't hear that often.
No.
Well, I mean, thank you. But, you know, that woman obviously is not in my life anymore, but
how long were you
thinking
together?
Back, about 2.5 years. Thinking back, there was, I don't think there was anything that the Lord could have done to have gotten my attention other than a woman, if that makes sense. Like,
he just knows you very well.
Very well, yeah. He knows me very well. And like, you know, looking back in hindsight, I used to tell the story as though, like, that basically I gave up drugs for a girl. Like, I had anything to really do with it. But, I mean, I don't even really understand how immediately attracted I was to that. I've never been like that with another woman before. And I fully believe it was just a godsend to get me out of that. And then I knew that I should have left, like, after that, and that it wasn't going to work out. But I kept trying to do it. But, I mean, she was absolutely in my life for a really, really big purpose, looking back on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I've since, you know, written a song about that. And
what's that song called?
Testimony. Oh, it's called Mama and the Devil.
It's So that's the one. That's the new one.
That's the new song. Yeah.
Ooh, we're gonna hear that shortly. Oh, yeah. Wow.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
But you have a very strong relationship with the Lord, and you are very spiritual. Correct?
I am. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
I love that.
My best friend.
We're like that too.
Yeah. We hold it down.
Yeah.
We all go to the same church, right?
We do.
Yeah. We do.
Since sixth grade, I've gone there. Yeah.
Y'all coming on Friday? That's probably going to be after that. But yeah.
Easter in the park.
Good Friday.
Oh, yeah. That's where I saw you the very first time.
Yep.
You had a mustache, I think.
In the process of one. Yeah. Caught me on a real bad.
The Easter in the park. Yeah. That's
yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. We went last year. It's awesome.
Yeah.
I love the church. That church changed my life.
Yeah, me
truly
too.
Did. I mean, yeah. I come from Austria, and I mean, you have no choice. You're Catholic. That's it. And I never had a relationship because I didn't know. You just don't know what you don't know. And a friend of mine, it was actually Marcelo, because she went through a really bad loss that she couldn't get over. And she's like, I need to go somewhere to church. And so a friend of mine told me about Fellowship Church, and I went, and you know, they tell you to go, you have to go at least six times for you to really understand if you have a connection with a church. And I remember being so Catholic, I was like, whoa, that's church, that's crazy.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
It's wild up there.
So unbelievable. And this goes all the way back. It was in the high school, at MacArthur High School. This is, my gosh, 20 something years ago.
Wow.
And my son was two at the time, not quite two, and he loved it so much. She loved it so much. And I was like, all right, I'll just keep going for the kids.
And for us too, when you're at a Catholic church, it's very hard to understand.
Right.
Like you.
Oh, I have very strong feelings about the Catholic church.
Okay. It's just very hard. You don't, I'm like, we're repeating these things. We're saying these things, but I don't feel
right.
Anything that I don't even know what we're talking about. You know?
Right.
I spent a real long time studying denomination theology.
Oh, and you
had
did?
Some very strong feelings about a lot of them.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
I can honestly say, and I say it so often, I mean, I know Pastor Ed and Lisa personally, Lee Beth and Marcella are the same age. That church, they have changed my whole entire life. They changed how I live, how my marriage is, how I raise my children.
Mm-hmm.
They change how I treat people. It's yeah. unbelievable. I mean, he's always in my head. I feel like always I think about
and
stuff.
Some of the books you will tell people about as well, like
the Kids
CEO,
best book ever written. I mean, every parent should read that book.
That's
I mean,
awesome.
Just incredible. So, yeah, so that's all.
Fellowship is great.
Amazing.
Yeah.
I wanted to touch a little bit before we hear this amazing song.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to also, you're also a stand-up comic?
Who told you that?
Open mic? Like,
that's, who told you that?
Insanity.
She told me that. I go, what?
Who told you this?
I, you know,
she's a research queen.
This is the thing.
I have no idea.
My goodness. Okay. You've been watching the Nitty Gritty, haven't you?
Hey, I gotta research my co-host.
So I'm not particular. I'm not a stand-up comic. I love stand-up comedy with all my heart. I actually almost left music to pursue stand-up comedy full-time.
Really?
It's almost equally as important to me as music is. I don't perform it the way that I do music. I mean, it's not my career that I've made for myself, but I will from time to time just for fun go do some open mics. It hardens you very hard.
I was going to say, is that hard?
It's the most terrifying thing that you could possibly do.
I could never. I think it's an amazing thing that people can do that.
I don't even like singing with a microphone in my hand without a guitar because I feel naked and uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And I sing professionally.
Right,
so like
right.
When I'm doing stand-up comedy, I'm like, hey, this is horrifying. And the first time you bomb, which you do the first time you do it, you just don't ever want to do it again. You're like, this is the worst thing in the world. I'm so embarrassed.
And you did it again.
Yes.
So do you prepare at all? You just go up there and just do what comes to your head? Like, how does that work?
I've tried that before because I think I'm a pretty funny guy. But
you are.
It just does not work like that. When
no.
you get up there, you're just like.
You go blank.
So you have to, I think you have to have, some guys don't. Some guys are, you know, just amazingly, you know, just naturals at it, I guess. But even some of my favorite comedians in the world that I've had the opportunity to go meet and spend time with and whatnot and hang out with, they all have told me like it takes 10, 12 years before you really
wow.
get a handle on it.
And who are some of your favorite comics? Because I love stand-up comedy. And if I find a good one that will make me belly laugh, I will. Like, I love it. I just want to know who your favorites are.
My favorites are Theo Von, Chris D'Elia, Brent Morin, probably Nate Bargatze, and Bill Burr. Probably my top five.
I've never heard of any of these.
I haven't either. Wow. But can you find them on like Netflix?
Oh, for sure. Oh, every one of those guys.
Oh, you know them, Spider?
Yeah, for sure.
Every one of those guys has Netflix specials. Theo Von's the one that I've like met and got to spend the most time with. Got to meet Brent Morin last time he was out here at the Addison Improv and hung out with him for a little bit. But all those guys are just top notch. Yeah.
I just like to know because the comedy, I like to watch stand-up comedy on Netflix. And
for sure.
Sometimes I don't know. I'm like, I don't know them.
Tom Segura, he's one of the best in the world.
Okay.
I remember Sinbad made me laugh all the time. He was so funny.
Sinbad's amazing.
I mean, I just love it too. And so if I asked you to do it, you wouldn't just do it.
Here?
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
That is horrible.
I've never even invited a friend to go along with me.
No.
Never. I called my best friend one time when I was on my way to one.
Uh-huh.
That's the closest anybody's ever been to coming with me.
Yeah. I can understand that though.
Because I'm not good at it.
You're not good at
it? I'm not good at it. No.
I don't believe you.
No, not at all. I'm working on it.
I had one of my best friends, she sadly passed away, but she was a natural comedian. Like, I mean, anything she would say, people are just, I mean, like where you fall off your chair laughing all the time. And I always thought she should do that. And she said, I would never. I mean, and she was naturally so funny. Mm-hmm. But she said, something happens when you go behind the microphone and do that.
Even if you just know you're being recorded.
Yeah.
In any way, like if you know somebody's watching. Like yesterday, I put up a new cover song video on my Instagram page that a buddy of mine wrote. And I love the song. And I was singing it, just sitting by myself in my chair. And I was like, I'm gonna go ahead and do a quick video of that. And as soon as I started the video, I sounded worse. Like I was just singing this better 3 minutes ago.
Oh, yeah. That's pressure.
As soon as you know someone's watching you,
But it's pretty impressive. It takes a very special person to do that. I could never. I've gone to the improv. I've seen it, and I sometimes people opening for the main person. You know, sometimes they're not good, or they'll not. Nobody's laughing, and I start getting so stressed. I'm like, oh my god, I feel so bad.
That person up there is internally having a stroke.
Yeah,
I know. I can imagine. Wow. Like, oh, I don't know how you do it.
It's horrifying. It's horrifying. But like, I guess at a certain point you get to a point. It's just second nature. Like me musically, I don't get nervous for shows anymore in any way, shape, or form. And if I'm like. If I'm not getting a lot of claps, this is a super arrogant thing to say, but I don't
care.
I don't think it's me.
Yeah.
It's just, they don't know, show etiquette. That's fine. And not everybody's going to like your stuff. That's fine.
That's really interesting. I thought that we told you we had Melissa Lawson on. She won the Nashville Star TV show, the episode 6. And I mean, her voice, she's unbelievable. And she was, a celebrity for quite a little bit there. And I saw her singing at a restaurant because they're trying to fundraise for our kids to go to Universal Studios, and she's up there singing. Like, I promise you, a lot of people have not heard someone sing like her, and they didn't even stop.
Nobody
people
cares.
Walk by, no one clapping. They like, it doesn't even matter. Yeah, it's unbelievable. I could not believe it. Could not believe it.
I'll clap for people singing on the subway in New York.
I know.
I get so excited.
Yeah, and I think
it's amazing.
I don't care if I'm the only person there, and I don't care if you suck. I'll clap for you after
something. Right. Well, I think it takes as a dancer, I can say this, but it takes what you don't understand if people have stage fright or people who don't do that or don't sing, don't dance, don't do anything in front of people. You have to understand the courage it takes to even get up there. So the fact that you don't support them, and even if they're awful, dancer, singer, whatever, to not clap for them for the sheer purpose that they had the courage to come up and do something that they love, I think is
such an attack on your self-confidence too.
Yeah.
Like if you choreograph a dance from scratch, right? Mm-hmm. And then you perform that for somebody and they don't have any response, you're immediately like, oh, I suck.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Oh, I did a really bad, I didn't do well. Maybe I was terrible. When in reality, they may even think like, that's the best dance I've ever seen in my life. They just don't know the etiquette to like, hey, clap.
And you know, some people are like, shy to clap and be excited for other people. Like, this is a thing. My husband's like that. I get so mad at him. I'm like, what is wrong with you? Like, what is wrong with you? Like, why is this so like hard to?
Clap your hands before I leave you on red for the next hour. Before I make you triple text me.
Exactly. Yeah, I think that's good for people to know, though. I'm a huge, I love live music. I love the energy with music. I love performances. I love all that stuff. I feel like, how could you not clap for somebody?
Yeah. Well, you get it, though. I mean,
that's true.
Yeah. Not everybody does. Some people just don't understand that.
Yeah. Well, everyone needs to understand it.
Speaking of which, when are y'all going to come to a show?
We are coming.
I told him last time.
I went to Hawaii last time.
I invited y'all to my album release party.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
I wasn't invited. Was I invited?
You were definitely invited.
I was judging.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Judging. When is your next one?
I'm playing today at Gather Kitchen over in North Dallas for some big event for them. And then next full band show is May 24th at the Blue Light Live in Deep Ellum. Very cool event.
I am done judging.
And my buddy Kelvin Thomas is opening up. Huge shout out to him. He's one of the most talented songwriters I've ever heard in my life.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Well, you had one of our friends, Carly.
She told me to tell y'all hi.
Oh, yeah. She came and saw you, and she was posting you on her story, and I was like, oh, man, I know Layton. Yeah. It was really cool.
So and then fun. You're also friends with Christina's husband. I forget what
Travis.
His name is. Travis. Yes. Yeah. Christina, she works at the Mermaid Salon.
Yep. Gotcha.
Travis is a dear friend of mine. He makes all my hats for shows.
Very, very cool.
You have some cool hats.
I do have some cool hats.
I've seen them at your shows. I'm like, we got to go. Yeah. Spider, right? We have to go. Spider has been wanting to come too.
Y'all should come. Now that we're doing full band stuff again, it's a lot of fun. Yeah.
Oh, I can't wait. I have to check this, but I think we can.
I'm done judging, I think, finally.
So that's good. You're a very talented person, man of many talents. I have to ask this question and you have to answer it honestly. Okay. As a musician, we brought that up last time.
Oh,
girls are going to throw themselves at you and don't lie. It's the truth. So I want to know how that is. Do you get a big head because of it? Do you stay humble because of it? Do you take advantage of it? I want to know all of these things.
That's good questions. Of course, I would like to say that I stay humble. I don't know if that's for sure the case. I will always react humbly, but I may not be so humble on the inside because of that, if I'm being really honest with you. But it doesn't happen as often as you think. I mean, there's definitely situations where it happens, but people are a lot more brave when you're still on stage and behind a microphone than when you come down off stage and all of a sudden everyone's nervous.
Mm.
And that doesn't really happen as much. Much more likely to just get like a phone number in your tip jar or something, or thrown up on stage.
Oh, really?
Or like, I mean, sometimes they'll like try to buy a round of shots for the band or something just to get attention or whatever. And sometimes people are just very sweet. But no, I think I try to stay humble in that. I don't like the idea at all of meeting a woman at my show. I've tried to do it before. I think I'm pretty much done doing that. And I'm definitely done, like, first time hanging out with a woman, inviting her to a show of mine. Because not that I'm amazing or anything of that nature, but whenever you're on a stage, whenever you're on a higher platform, it subconsciously does something to everybody else. Mm-hmm. Especially if, like, you know, like, if I invite a woman, like, first time hanging out with me, like, hey, you should come to a show sometime, which I'm guilty of having done that before. But it automatically puts you in this weird place of, like, that's who they think you are. You're not the guy who like hasn't done the dishes in 3 days. You know what I mean? And
right.
It always ends up like being disappointing, you know? I don't like doing that at all. And also I don't want to take advantage of somebody.
Yeah.
And knowing that they have that weird idea in their mind, anybody that's up on a stage, like someone who might find you attractive is going to automatically put you you're literally on a pedestal.
Literally. So you don't, find a girl to go home with every time you perform?
Every time I play 5 nights a week. I don't have the stamina.
Well, we don't know. You could be
Aerosmith. I don't have that kind of energy. Yeah.
You could be like Aerosmith. I don't know.
I really try not to. But like, if I'm going to be like, I don't like the idea of sleeping around at all. And as long as I'm sober, I don't. But if I've had drinks or something like that, I try to, like, this sounds awful, but I try to, like, make it like a regular person.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
Not like, someone random.
I don't want to be just, like, sleeping with five different women a week. That sounds, that honestly sounds miserable, and I don't have that much energy, and I'm
tired.
Yeah, especially after I just played a show and I'm physically worn out.
Well, then you have to entertain someone after that. But what if...
You got five people you got to talk to after that.
Yeah.
Do that.
What if... Live in what if world.
Here we go.
Like, the woman of your dreams comes walking in and you're playing a show. You wouldn't talk to her?
I'll go out of my way to talk to her, yeah. But the woman of my dreams probably isn't going to be at my show. You know what I mean?
Oh. Why not?
I don't picture me meeting the woman of my dreams at my show.
Why?
Well, I mean, I play in like, I mean, not bad places or anything, but I play in bars and stuff like that. And I figured the woman of my dreams is probably got like 30 other dudes trying to holler at her right now. And, you know, she's probably got a line of dates. You know, I don't know. I don't know. She's not going to be at my show.
Bar. Okay. Yeah. I mean, she might be there for a friend's birthday.
The woman of my dreams, whenever she comes to the first show of mine, she'll be like, oh my gosh, this is so cool that you do this. Like, this is crazy. This, I would never have come here on my own.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Yeah.
She's not out in bars on Saturday nights by herself.
No, I'm saying I'm creating like a whole scenario for you. Like her friends are having a party.
Bachelor party. Her best friend's getting married. She's a maid of honor.
Yeah, she never goes out on Saturday. This is not a place she would frequent. Okay. And it just happens to be that she walks in and it's like this angel and she walks in slow motion in front of you.
I'd be terrified.
But also, I'm sure there's so many people that wouldn't even notice a lot of people like that walking in a room.
Why?
For real.
I would notice. Yeah. I would probably, you know what? Honest to God, what I would do for sure during my show, I would absolutely make eye contact with her at least a baker's dozen times.
There you go.
Make eye contact with her, you know, in the middle of like the sexy parts of the song.
Oh, hey.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. With like the low breathy tones part of the song. Yeah. And then afterwards, might try to go up like, cause as a dude, if you have the balls to walk up to a woman in a group of just her girlfriends, that's a big move.
It is.
That's a bold move.
It is.
Just by yourself, it's walk up impressive. To a group of six women and like, excuse me, ma'am. I love you. I couldn't help but notice you. I was that guy. I couldn't help but notice that I love you. So
immediately walk up and take her hand and just pull her away. And
just walk. Hey, excuse me. Would you like to dance? Because my hips don't. You know?
I can totally see it. I played the whole movie in my head.
I'd walk up and ask you to dance, but that's kind of a weird. Just walking up and asking a stranger woman to dance is weird because once a dance is over, it's just like okay now and go back to the table, whereas you want to continue the conversation. So like I would probably try to open with something different.
Well, yeah,
I'd probably just walk up and introduce myself. Excuse me. You know.
My name's
Layton.
I wasn't there. I was that guy.
I'd like to write a song about you one day. So.
I love that.
I know. That's awesome. So, dating. How's that going?
Horrible.
Horrible? It's, are you dating anyone?
Not really. No.
Do you want to be?
Well, he wants to find his wife. Future wife, he says.
I keep saying that, but I don't keep acting like it. Of course I would. Yeah. I'm very quick to know that I do not want to be or that someone's not the one. So
I think that's good though.
I've been dating a lot. I've been spending time with a lot of people, I guess, but very quickly realized this isn't the person I'm going to spend the rest of my life with. And not a lot of people like that response. Not a lot of people like, I feel like that's the most diplomatic way to break up with somebody.
I think it's a good thing because you're not wasting time. And I feel like a lot of people will get into something and then they kind of deep down know, and then they just hang on to it because whatever, maybe.
Sure.
And they don't say, like, this is not, we're not going to go all the way here, so we might as well just break up.
Sure. It's, I'm not going to say it's hard because that's extremely cliche, but it's definitely weird in Dallas, especially growing up the way me and my friends grew up. It's
I bet.
Very uncomfortable. But, I mean, Southern hospitality and being a gentleman definitely sticks out nowadays in Dallas, so that's cool. But it's fine. I just don't, I'm not in the right places to meet the right women, that's for sure. Like I said, the woman of my dreams isn't going to be hanging out in the bars that I'm playing in, so.
Right.
So.
I'm going to have to catch her at the grocery store.
Yeah. We're going to take a tiny short little break and hear our beautiful commercial. And then we're going to call Miss Polly because I have a question for her that ties into your dating life.
Oh, I can't wait.
Oh, God. Do you want to go on a date with Miss Polly?
Wow.
I'm totally joking.
If you are looking for lingerie, swimwear, clubwear, dresses, jewelry, Halloween costumes, and so much more, check out Two Posh Boutique. Find us online on Instagram or at twoposhboutique.com. You can also call for a private fitting appointment at 469-682-1240. Do you need an item custom created? We have our own production team ready to help. Are you interested in a fun and sexy gift basket? Look no further. We create those too. We also carry a large collection of diva-sized products. Get poshed at Two Posh Boutique. We cannot wait to meet you. Twoposhboutique.com or call us at 469-682-1240.
Hello, hello.
Hello, Miss Polly.
Hello. How you doing?
So we just did a show on All About Layton, who is our new co-host and permanent co-host, actually. Mm-hmm. So we had some more questions to ask.
Time.
I know, right? Isn't that exciting?
It is.
We're waiting for you to move back, you know. So anyways, we did a show and we asked, the last question I asked Layton is about his dating life. And
do they have to play her thing?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
All good.
Jingle. Sorry about
that. This is Penis and Pussy Talk with Miss Polly. I'm
not getting used to that.
I love it. Miss Polly, we were doing a show on Layton, our new permanent co-host, while we wait for you to come back to join us, because this is really supposed to be you too, but we're doing the call-in for now till you move back. And we talked about Layton and got to know him and some of his struggles that he has overcome. And now, you know, he's a musician and he plays all the time. So I asked him some really tough questions about his dating life and if women are throwing themselves at him. And I wanted
to
know.
They are.
Yeah. You know, have you seen him?
Yes.
So the question is this, and I have not asked him yet, but I'm sure he gets lots of those. Should you send nude pictures to someone that you are talking to or dating?
Oh, boy. I think that a lot of it depends on the relationship you have with that particular person. And if you are feeling comfortable enough to trade, I believe it's tit for tat, or tick for dick.
No,
whatever.
No, I don't want a dick pic. No, I don't want that.
All of that, though. The caveat to that is do not send a picture with your face on it.
Oh. Cover tattoos also.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Do not, never do anything live. Okay?
Live.
So don't do anything live. Take and don't let anybody film or take pictures of you in your intimate life.
But what about like Layton is playing his songs, whatever.
Boobs.
Yeah. And he, you know, a girl is interested, gives him the phone number, and he is interested. And so he just says, hey, going to take you out for drinks, whatever. And the next thing he gets is a nude picture. Does that happen?
I would never talk to that person again.
But does it happen?
I would not either. I don't blame you. I mean, that's like too soon. No.
You get like random ones from out of nowhere from somebody that you haven't talked to in a long time. But, or like if I put out a new video or put out a new song, I'll get a couple. But,
see? I know
but
it.
For the most part, though, like, don't send me naked pictures, period. Because I'm trying to get my life right with the Lord. So don't do this. And also, and here's the thing, too. If I wasn't, come have sex with me like an adult. Don't send me naked pictures. Like, even if I was trying to do that, don't do that. Don't tease me from a distance.
Oh,
come
my
over.
God.
But no, don't send naked pictures. Don't send me naked pictures. Unless we're like, I've been in like committed relationships where like a good while down the road, like that happens, and that's fine or whatever. But for the most part, I mean, even if I'm in a committed relationship, I'm still trying to live my life right by my Lord and Savior. So don't be doing that to me. Don't make me lust like this.
I think committed is different.
I'm like not. This. So send them all to me.
Oh,
I think
I'm gonna forward you.
And yeah. I think it depends on how. I think if you're in a committed relationship, totally different. And I think how. Like, don't send your vagina just spread open. Mm. That is like horrendous.
Hey, speak
for yourself.
I'll text the police. Like, I'll just forward that picture to 911 in a text message and be like, get over here.
Like, I feel like you have to do what is implied. I feel like implied is great if you're in a committed relationship. But not if you don't know them.
Sexy is to me like if you have some really cute lingerie.
Too posh. Mm-hmm,
yeah. Too posh. You know?
Nice little plug.
And you're feeling yourself. Or, hello, you know, you got this really cute outfit from Gabby's Boutique or Too Posh or whatever, and it's like really hot, and you're like, I think I look good in this. And you take a picture of your best asset.
And you send it to your boyfriend, not random.
Exactly.
I think that
exactly
to take it to like a more like my father would say. To be honest, and this probably isn't how it should go, but this is just how it works. You're only going to respect somebody as much as they demand you to respect them. So if you come right out of the gate with a booty hole picture in my DMs,
booty hole picture.
If I open up my phone to a booty hole.
Starfish.
From somebody I don't really know. Hey.
You gotta make it creative, like plant a flower in it or something.
Jeepers.
I would honestly be more thrilled about that.
Coming from a spider who has gotten a vagina picture that she made into a hamburger.
Yeah. It's a fantastic picture.
And it
I'll show you later.
And it
what,
actually,
she go to Arby's, dude? What is happening?
No, she put sesame seeds on it, everything. Like,
I have it in my phone still.
It is the most creative.
I don't even want to see that, man. Come
no,
on.
No, it's actually impressive.
All right, I'll check it out.
It impressed me. I was like, oh,
did
wow.
Did it make you hungry, though?
I can't say that it made me hungry, no.
Well, then it didn't do what it was intended for.
It didn't make me go, what the? Hey, that's all right.
And what?
I just think that it's too much, and there's too much of the possibility, especially if it's not in a committed, you know, monogamous relationship, then it just becomes porn.
If you hit me with a nude of any kind and we haven't been out here doing this for a while, like we're not saying I love you.
Right.
I probably won't ever talk to you again.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Exactly.
And I don't, because I absolutely don't respect you.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Yeah,
you're gross. How many other guys have you sent the same picture
exactly.
to?
Exactly. And what else comes with that? Yeah. I have a friend who, every time we get together, shows me the pictures that women send him. I'm like horrified sometimes. They're in the tennis locker room, like putting their leg up on the
I'll tell you this,
the vanity.
The older women send the most wild
it's
nudes.
It's unbelievable. And then what does he do? He shows them to me. Then.
Well,
I mean,
because this particular friend has a girlfriend. So let's just preface it that way.
But I'm just saying, it's like you do that. You don't know who else gets to see all that.
I don't think I put out the persona or the type of vibe to be receiving nudies, though. Like, I don't think if you went to my Instagram or to any of my social media or even know me personally, that you would think I'm the type of person that's just okay to send one to. I don't think I put that out.
No, you don't. But
I don't think I do, and I get dick pics.
Well,
I definitely don't. I have to ask.
My man.
Considering that I have a, you know, dating app, so to speak, on my phone, I'm shocked and sometimes appalled at how soon people, like, think it's okay to tell you they want to sleep with you, you're pretty, I want to fuck you. And it's like, really? We
the
don't
first
have
five minutes.
Like,
crazy.
Yes!
Guys are bold nowadays.
Yeah.
Like, we're not animals out here. Not all of us.
No. And
not
sometimes the dick pic will be followed up with a, you like? And I'm like, no. Oh, so
what country are you from, dude? It's the most foreign thing I could possibly imagine.
I had someone in here.
Block.
I had someone in here last week that was talking about a guy at a bar who was walking around showing people his own dick pic on his phone.
What? My girlfriend will send, if a guy, she saves people's dick pics.
I've
and
seen
if,
some of them.
This is Nicole. And if Nicole gets a dick pic from a guy, she'll send another dick pic.
I love that idea.
Oh, isn't that great? That.
It's a good one. But then she also shows them all off at parties.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's true.
Yes,
Nicole does do that.
I love that idea.
So,
next time I get an awful nude.
Just save it and then send the awful nude back to the other one.
Yep. Yeah, say that again, Miss Polly.
I just said, ladies and gentlemen, just kind of like listen to this and know that don't send those pictures to people you don't have an intimate relationship with.
But you're not saying I love you.
But you're not saying I love you. Very good. That's exactly it. If you're not saying I love you to each other and you're like monogamous, don't be sending dick and twat pictures to anybody.
Even if I've slept with somebody, I don't want your nudes. Don't want it. Because chances are I drunkenly made a mistake and slept with you and don't want to do it again. So
there you go. See? On that note, thank you, Miss Polly. We'll
Ms.
call
Polly.
You later. We love you.
I will talk to you.
Bye. Bye. This leads us to the question of today.
The two posh girls ask the question of the day.
Today's question, what is your favorite sports team?
Oh, I don't care at all.
You don't care at all?
No.
You don't watch sports?
The second I stopped competing in sports is when I stopped caring about sports.
Wow. Totally? You don't?
Very much so.
Really?
Yep. I don't care at all. I'll watch Texas Tech because both my parents went there. Me and my brother lived up there, and my youngest sister lives in Lubbock right now. So we kind of have like family heritage there. Don't care.
Don't care
at all.
Spider. I think around here the only thing I really fuck with is the Mavericks, but I love some European soccer.
Oh, yay.
I don't care. I mean, I like Cowboys, I guess, because...
Even though you worked for one, you don't...
I was a Mavs dancer, I know, and I literally could... I was like, are we winning? I don't even know what's happening. I was just excited to dance. I think it's fun. I guess I'm... like the worst fan ever because I'm having fun when they're winning and I love it when there's like the fun energy. I like the sporting events. I like going out. I like,
yeah, that's fun.
The games. I like doing that, but I am not like a,
like, oh my God. I love all of it. I love sports. I'm like follow all my Austrian skiers all the time. And the favorite sports team, Dallas Cowboys. How could I not? Troy Aikman used to be my neighbor.
Oh, wow.
So, love the Dallas Cowboys, but I also love the Stars right now in the playoffs, so that's fun.
I made a fool out of myself last night not knowing anything about hockey.
Oh.
I was playing a show in Bedford, Texas at the Bedford Ice House. Really cool little stage out there. And I don't know that there's three periods in hockey. I don't know that.
I didn't know that either.
That doesn't make sense. Why? You know? Round numbers. But anyway, I was told by the guy that booked me, he's like, they're just going to have you start after the hockey game's over. Mm-hmm. I was like, cool, no problem. As soon as the second period's over, I'm under the impression it's over.
Oh,
I hop
no.
up, start my set. I get two songs in. They come back out, and I'm looking up at the screen, like one of the TVs over the bar.
No.
I was like, oh, for sure. What an idiot. Had to stop, come back off stage, and go sit down for another 20 minutes.
Till it was over.
Yeah,
I love sports. I love watching it.
I like going.
Follow all of it. Love going. Yeah. It's fun. I think my brother is like, he is the
diehard Cowboys.
Diehard Cowboys.
From Austria.
Sports. Yeah. So I love doing all that. Well, on that note, don't send nudes to lightning people.
Don't send me nudes.
Send all the nudes to Spider.
All you want. I'll take them.
And now we get to hear Leighton's brand new
Yay!
Single.
I'm so excited.
Mama and the Devil. And what we want you to do, we want you to call into 95.9 The Ranch and 106.9 and request... Leighton Fields, Mama and the Devil,
right.
Because we need to have this song played as often as possible, requested as often as possible.
Right. And the more that song is played, the more I get paid.
Exactly. Yes.
And support.
And then this, we heard what this song is all about.
Yeah, a little bit more preface for this song. When I was a kid and I joined my first band at 13 years old, it was a Christian metal band. I think I talked about this last time I was on. But my mother had a dream, and it disturbed her to the point where she wrote it all down. And she made the mistake of showing me when I was like 14 years old. Like, she's like, read this. You're not going to believe this dream I had.
What was it?
All right, Mom, let me check it out. And it was this dream where the devil came out to my mom, and he stole my hat that I wore every single day of my life. And had it on like this like sacrificial altar. And he told my mom, he's like, next I'm going to have your kid.
Oh.
And my mom was like, no, you're not. And like tried to argue with the devil about it in this dream. And she told me, she's like, I just know that the devil's going to try to use your music for his works and not for the kingdom. And I'm like, I'd have been just fine without you telling me all this. So it's been in the back of my mind for the last 15 years.
Wow.
So anyway, a few years ago, I wrote this song and then recorded it with some buddies in their living room. And I've been sitting on it for the last couple of years and just finally decided to go ahead and put it out. So Mom and the Devil, it's kind of a rock and roll jam.
Mama's always been a God-fearing Christian woman and always prayed for all of us kids. She said, boy, you can be whatever that you wanted. I never meant to end up like this. Mama says, son, the other night I had a dream. Said the devil came to visit with me. He stole your hat and he said your soul was next. I said, now, Mama, I ain't seen my hat in 3 damn days. Now Mama told that old devil, well, you can't have my boy. And that devil said, woman, well, this ain't your choice, no. This preacher man goes on, holler at me, brother, tell me what I'm doing wrong. Losing all my interest if I stay in one place. You won't never get the spirit if you never preach in grace. Before I even knew it, I was out on my own and paid my own bills and singing my own songs. Been so long since Mama had that dream, I stopped opening my Bible when I turned 16. And that's when they started paying me visits, just like thieves in the night. Stealing, killing, and destroying every part of my life. Oh! Oh! Liquored up with head pack full of cocaine. They say, get your mind right, you're running out of time. So I cut another line and said the devil was to blame. And woman after woman after one after another, and borrowing more drug money from my brother. And I finally found a man speaking some truth. I hit my knees, got some grace, and now I'm preaching at you. That old devil went and found me, me in the eye. You say, boy, you're coming with me. And I cracked a smile. Thank you.
that you sang that after your story, and I that know. Was super cool. Like,
I know
how that all like happened just now. I thank love you. That. Mm-hmm. Are you gonna make a music video with that?
Absolutely. Yeah.
That is really cool.
Yeah. I know.
It'll be putting that out. So we're going to do a new full length record in June, which is very exciting.
Nice. Wow.
Trying to put out 20 songs in 2019.
Wow. Yes, so Layton.
12 more we're doing in June. I'll probably re-release Mom and the Devil on that as well. And we're going to do a video for it, and also a video for a song called Take Your Time. That's more of a lovemaking jam.
Oh, hey. Do you write all of yours?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Incredible.
That is amazing.
Thank you.
I love that.
Thanks.
So, again, everyone request Mom and the Devil.
Mom and the Devil.
95.9 at the ranch, mm-hmm. and 106.9, mm-hmm. correct?
Both what owned do you by do? The ranch, yeah.
You call...
Yeah, what do you, what, yeah,
how
do
you do
it? As far as I know,
it?
Yeah. call the ranch or get online. I think you can request online.
Oh, that's
on
cool.
On the website.
I'm requesting.
Sure. Me too.
Because you can like live stream their radio station online now. You know, technology's wild. But.
Awesome. Let's all request a song.
Should I do that like now? Like when I go home?
Yeah.
Oh, hey.
Hey. thank you, Layton. We welcome you to the show. We're going to have so
I'm
much
excited
fun.
To be here.
So
yeah.
fun. We're going to have lots of plans and doing amazing things.
I'm happy to be here.
Thank you, everyone,
thank
for
you.
Listening.
Okay, bye.
If you like our show, you can follow us on all social media handles. Two Posh Podcast is on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, as well as Two Posh Boutique is on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And my personal Instagram is Gabby Talks, and my Facebook is Gabrielle Kendall Gilmore. So reach out to us, and here's Marcella's social media handles.
Also, our podcast is on all podcasts. Networks that you can find. You can find me on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat at Marcella Ranieri. Nothing really creative. My first and last name MarcellaRanieri.
And Two Posh Podcast is also on YouTube. We have our own YouTube yes. channel.
Layton Fields, y'all be sure to subscribe to the podcast. My Instagram is Layton Fields Music, spelled LEIGHTONFIELDS Music. Layton Fields Music on Facebook, Layton Fields on Snapchat. Y'all get at me.
Miss Polly.
Yes, you can follow me on Instagram at PR by Polly. My Twitter handle is Miss Polly Sex EDU.
Hey.
Beautiful, everyone. Thank you for listening. Subscribe to our channel. Subscribe to podcasts.
YouTube.
And YouTube.
You can see us all.
Yeah. And you, everyone have a wonderful day.